Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission that God gave to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. God said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called The Door. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 6 to 10. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 10, I'm reading verse 6. "This parable spoke Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them." Verse 7. "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Verse 8. "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Verse 9. "I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Verse 10. "The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." The word door in Strong's is number 2374. It's a primary word, means door or portal or entrance, the opening or the closure, literally or figuratively, a door or a gate. In the Message Bible, John 10, 6 to 10 says, Jesus told this simple story, but they had no idea what he was talking about. So he tried again. "I'll be explicit then. I am the gate for the sheep. On all those others who are up to no good. Sheep rustlers, every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of." Those listening could not understand, so Jesus used a parable to explain the fact that you must become like a sheep and go through the door if you want abundant life, devil free. Those who have already suffered from deception at the hands of the devil have ears to hear. The sheepfold is not a building or a church with a physical fence or perimeter to keep out thieves and robbers. The sheepfold is a place for those who have woken up to the truth that they must follow Christ for the sake of their own salvation, because the flesh is utterly corrupt. What God has planned for those who love God has not yet entered the mind of man. So you have to take Jesus at his word. Those that came around to take a look at Jesus miss the portal that leads to life, because they're holding on to this world with wrong priorities. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 3, starting in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, John 3:16 says, For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten, unique Son, so that whosoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. Faith that does not cling to every word through the Spirit does not have faith in God for salvation. Those who have not made Jesus Lord have their own operating system instead, and still sin by consulting their minds. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 17, this is the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8, I'm reading verse 17. Then I say, all the work of God that a man cannot find out, the work that is done under the sun. For though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it. God has hidden his truths from the wise and prudent, so the uneducated do not have to go to them for help. Anyone trying to understand the things of God with their minds will deceive themselves. God makes known his truths to the humble. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, I'm reading verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Verse 26. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. The humble have made Jesus Lord now, and do nothing to meet their own physical needs. You might think you are humble, but if you are doing things to help God, you have a false humility instead. God doesn't need your help. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 8. For everyone that asketh receives, and he that seeketh finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Verse 9. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Verse 10. Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Verse 13, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. In the Message Bible, Matthew 7, 7 to 14 says, don't bargain with God, be direct. Ask what you need. This isn't a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your child asks for bread, do you trick him with sawdust? If he asks for fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. So don't you think the God who conceived you in love will be even better. Here is a simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. Add up God's law and prophets, and this is what you get. Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easy-going formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way to life to God is vigorous and requires total attention. A preacher can use common sense to alert you to the fact that something is wrong in your life, but you will not come to repentance without meekness when corrected. Common sense never replaces the need to ask God everything, because his ways are greater than man's ways. Those asking God everything have abundant life. Those that do not ask questions suffer unnecessarily. His promises only work consistently on the narrow way. If God gives you everything you need on the broad way, you will end up in hell faster. You will have less time to repent and save yourself from destruction. We read in the book of Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 3. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, starting in verse 1. Ho, everyone that is thirsty, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Verse 3. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. In the book, The Manifest Sons of God, revised edition, in chapter 15, on Acquire a Taste for Change, on page 100, Joseph Hitchcock writes, ask the Lord to give you an adventurous spirit. Develop an attitude of joy as you embrace the unknown, instead of being afraid of what might happen or what God might require of you. Always remember that your Father loves you and wants the best for you at all times. The changes he is bringing in your life are for your own good. The flesh is corrupt and does not see the need to enter the narrow way using the only doorway that leads to life. Life comes from God. Your soul is dead, cut off from God through sin, but comes alive again when you hear, trust, and obey the Holy Spirit. Man has been given the honor and privilege and all the blessings that come from representing him on earth by letting him make all the decisions by the Spirit. The everlasting covenant is based on doing his will, not yours. Many bargain with God to get a blessing so that they can do something they want now. This is just wasting time. Everything belongs to God. Even if you give him your life, then you'll only be giving him back what he gave you to do his perfect will. He is mindful of all your needs. So get on the narrow way and start praying. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm reading verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Everything in his kingdom starts with the word. You have to be authorized before you do anything because only God's rightly revealed word brings life. Even the plan of salvation came through Jesus, the living word. So nothing without him directing will continue to exist. You did not arrive on this planet without the word. So how will you continue to exist without hearing and obeying his voice? We read in the book of Isaiah 42 and verse 8. This is in the book of Isaiah chapter 42. I'm reading verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. No one else can have the glory because he is the Word and everything good originates from him. God does not want you to do dead works because this will bring a curse on your life. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 14 and verse 1. This is in the Psalms, chapter 14, I'm reading verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works, and there is none that does good. For 1,000 years, everyone will see exactly how his word should have been applied to this earth, with Jesus ruling in Jerusalem. The inhabitants of the earth will be astonished at the effectiveness of the written word. The earth will turn into a paradise based on his instructions and heal from man's wrong priorities. This may take some time, but not before everyone on the earth gets to enjoy what God planned in the beginning. Scientists using their minds will be humbled, who said there is no God, and be seen as utter fools, even if they have some earthly wisdom. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, this is in Matthew's Gospel chapter 5, and I'm reading verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek respond to truth and conviction. His government will include all those who accepted corrections now through sound teaching and walked humbly with God by obeying the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to his disciples in John 16, verses 13 and 14. This is John's Gospel, chapter 16, and reading verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you the things to come. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. God does not hide the truth from his chosen people. You hide truth from yourself by using your mind, if you're born again. Using your mind, you reject the only means to come to truth through conviction and godly sorrow, and you will remain ignorant. As you backslide, you might begin to believe you can do everything with your mind for the sake of your flesh. If, however, you become like a little child, you can enter the kingdom now. Jesus taught in Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, I'm reading verse 3. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. If you have entered in through the door, the devil cannot follow. Those on the narrow way get the resources they need, doing the will of God in the kingdom of God, because they're humble. We read in Proverbs chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. This is in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, I'm reading verse 12. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 13, even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Verse 14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Everyone living in the sheepfold knows there is a way that seems right. The venue is not important, but doing his perfect will by the Spirit is. Everyone in the sheepfold receives according to their faith, not according to their intellectual ability. Even if the meeting is cut short because of some persecution. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. I'm reading 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, where you have heard that it should come, and even now, already, it is in the world. Verse 4. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. True Christians believe that Christ overcame death, hell, and the grave by asking God everything and obeying the Holy Spirit consistently. The Antichrist spirit is in the church and controlled by those who say God gave you a brain and expects you to use it. Double-minded Christians believe lies through fear, even though they have the ability to overcome everything in this world through faith in God directing them in the small things. They are lazy and don't want to change their comfortable lifestyles, deny themselves, and take up their cross daily using the gift of eternal life. Following Christ is the key to spiritual growth and God-given authority, because the flesh is self-seeking. Those consulting their minds are the source of corrupt doctrines in the church today. Jesus was speaking in Matthew 16, verses 15 to 20. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. I'm reading verse 15. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Verse 20. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. People are told that Jesus is the Son of God, but not told that Jesus Christ overcame sin in physical form by asking God everything. Jesus had no fixed venue for his messages. He often taught in the open air with many distractions. He had no sound equipment or nice music where he was speaking. The keys of the kingdom of heaven were not to lock up the building afterwards, but the authority to do what God wanted on earth by acknowledging him consistently and obeying. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 8 to 11. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8. I'm starting verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be ye that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. The Spirit is not dwelling you just because you're born again. The Spirit is only dwelling when the body is lifeless because Christ is present and the flesh is not ruling. The Spirit is alive in you because you are in right standing with God and not quenching it by yielding to the flesh. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ and will not dwell in your life where he is not welcome. Disobedience to the Spirit is the same as walking away from Christ. To be in the sheepfold, you have to follow. This is not a membership, but an invite to be a sheep by maintaining your ability to hear and obey God all the time and keep the flesh dead and buried. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. This is Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, of whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? Verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Verse 4. Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? In periods of revival, those born again are more concerned about the truth than the church venue. Truth makes people uncomfortable. A church building only has to look like a sheep pen. You cannot come to truth using your mind. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. Conviction is a blessing, however it comes. Work on what God is showing you personally until you overcome the bad fruit that keeps manifesting, and then you can help someone else. This process never stops until you reach the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Those who are bewitched use their own minds to interpret the truth for the sake of their flesh. God's sheepfold is not comfortable for the flesh. You will come under conviction following Christ. In God's sheepfold, no one is defending the truth either, because the truth does not need defending. The strategies of hell will not succeed against his people unless they depart from the truth first. Those with righteousness apart from obeying the truth are deceiving themselves. Now and again, you have to suffer for righteousness' sake when others seek another righteousness for the sake of their flesh. John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, verses 4 to 7. This is 1 John chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Verse 5. This then is the message which you have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. God is light, and he can see clearly. Everyone is either in the darkness or seeing dimly at best. We get our joy from obeying the Spirit and pleasing God by faith in what he tells us to do. Those who hear and obey God instantly are the best examples in the church of Jesus Christ. Those who use their minds are not trustworthy and still love this world. Those walking in the light have fellowship with everyone, including the more mature ones as well. There's no elite in the sheepfold. Jesus chose disciples passing over the elite, the aristocratic and influential. Among Jesus' disciples, there were no trained professionals, doctors, or lawyers. Matthew was a tax collector. Thomas was a builder. There was also a farmer, and most were fishermen. Disciples with a spiritual education are called to be examples in this world, not relying on natural discernment. We read in John chapter 10, verses 24 to 26. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10, I'm reading verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Verse 25. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Verse 26. But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, John 10:26 says, But you do not believe and trust and rely on me, because you do not belong to my fold. You are no sheep of mine. Jesus had an opportunity to tell the religious Jews exactly who he was, but they did not have ears to hear. But he did tell them he was the door. Jesus is the door for the sheep, not the lambs. To become a part of the church of Jesus Christ, it's not enough just to be born again. You have to be able to trust God with all your heart and stop using your natural mind. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Matthew 7:13-14 says, Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and spacious and broad is the way that leads away to destruction. And many are those who are entering through it. But the gate is narrow, contracted by pressure, and the way is straitened and compressed that leads away to life. And few are those that find it. Lambs do not believe the narrow way leads to life and keep using their minds to make decisions because they still love this world. Using natural discernment, lambs cannot find the door to the sheepfold either and start crying out when they get lost. If you've recently been born again, I recommend you start following someone who has fruit in their own lives, in precious situations, that they are following Christ. We read in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 27. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. I'm reading verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Verse 27, For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Those who are corrupt see no benefit in giving up their free will to God until they nearly lose their life serving the devil. They only see the boundaries set by the sheepfold as restrictive because they're conformed to this world. You were given a free will so that you can make just one decision to give your free will back to God and leave it there so he can make all the right decisions as Lord of your life. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 15. For if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Liberty is not freedom, but a God-given ability to choose between two natures. You have the liberty to choose the narrow way or the broad way. Only those who are in the Spirit can function and stay on the narrow way. On the narrow way, the flesh will start manifesting and screaming, so you can deal with it. Liberty is an opportunity to do the will of God now and forever, and never serve the flesh again. Before you are born again by the Spirit, you did not have a choice. You only had one choice, the carnal nature, sin, and ultimately death, the wages of sin. In the Message Bible, Galatians 5:13 to 15 says, "It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows." For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence: love others as you would love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. If you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you'll be annihilating each other. And where will your precious freedom be then? You need the right motive and attitude to hear God's voice consistently. Serve effectively anywhere God sends you, and do not complain or make excuses. Those you submit to may be in the flesh themselves, but you will learn quickly not to listen to your own flesh. If your authority is in the Spirit and you are in the flesh, you will always get a favorable response. Under corrupt authority, you will have to ask God everything or be overcome with evil. This is a good way to learn quickly. When you do things He tells you to do, He will make a way for you to overcome. You'll also learn what it means to love your neighbor as your very own self as well. In the Living Bible, Galatians 5:16 says, "I advise you to obey only the Holy Spirit's instructions. He will tell you where to go and what to do, and then you won't always be doing the wrong things your evil nature wants you to do." If you remove the lies you believe for the sake of your flesh, with the help of the Holy Spirit through repentance, you will grow up spiritually. The flesh is your enemy. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. I'm reading the book of Philippians, chapter 3, starting verse 1. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe." Verse 2, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision." Verse 3, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Verse 4, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." Verse 5, "Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee." Verse 6, "Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." Verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." Verse 8, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Verse 9, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, 2021 edition, in chapter 7, on Count the Cost, on page 82, Joseph Edgecott writes, "Just as a builder must count the cost before starting a construction project, you must count the cost to follow Jesus Christ. If you refuse to pay the price for Jesus to become your whole life, you will never enjoy constant communion with God. You'll not be led by the Holy Spirit consistently. Many believers make an effort to walk in this message for a season. However, they only get to know the Lord in a limited way. Their lack of success is the direct result of their unwillingness to give up their Lordship. They refuse to count the cost or pay the price to follow Jesus because they do not trust him. Even though they profess to have faith in God, they are reluctant to give him full control. If you're not rejoicing on the narrow way, your priorities are wrong. You will lose something of temporal value following Christ, so count the cost beforehand. If you did not do that, you can do that now. It's never too late. Many in the body of Christ seek deliverance from evil, but will end up back on a way that seems right because they did not count the cost. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 and 25. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm reading verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for the body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? You should have an abundant life without thinking or serving your own needs. If you are still a babe in Christ after many years, that's your own fault. You have the best teacher. What you think you know hinders you from knowing what he wants you to know now. Jesus has done everything for you to live a rich and full life by obeying the Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 27 to 30. This is John chapter 10. I'm reading verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Verse 30. I and my Father are one. In the Gilded Prison revised edition at the end of chapter 11, on how do you escape, on page 99, Joseph Hedgecott writes, walking in the Spirit neutralizes Satan's traps and delivers you from the prisons of your flesh. The religious Jews were serving the devil unawares. They picked up stones to kill Jesus when he told them that he and his Father are one, because he had the same priorities by obeying the Spirit. You can also have the same priorities by obeying the Spirit consistently. But if you do, beware that those who are religious may take up stones to stone you too. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, John 10:27 says, the sheep that are my own hear and are listening to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You will get left behind or overcome if you do not do these three things consistently, right up to the end of your life. Number one, hear and obey his voice as communicated by the Holy Spirit. Number two, get to know God progressively by using the gift of eternal life. Three, follow Jesus by denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Galatians 5:16 says, but I say walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of human nature without God. The flesh will be uncomfortable and nervous on the narrow way, especially in the beginning. If you do not like your flesh complaining, then you can kill it. Kill the flesh, or the devil will make you comfortable in this world and you become a prisoner again. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 13, I'm reading to verse 18. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Verse 15. And account that the long sufferings of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Verse 16. And also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Verse 17, Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, be aware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Verse 18, But grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Paul's letters expose those in the church trying to understand with their own minds. Those not steadfastly asking God everything are wicked, according to Peter. You'll only overcome evil through your own steadfastness, asking God everything. We read in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm reading verse 38. And it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she would help me. Verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Verse 42. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You will grow spiritually, hearing and obeying the Holy Spirit under greater levels of pressure, as God allows. He is in control. Pressure is good. Even if others do not help you, they are not the problem. You are the problem because you are not asking God what to do. Your spiritual growth will stop if you make excuses for the sake of your flesh. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, and reading verse 19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. His saints, obeying the Spirit, do suffer according to the will of God, but there is an abundance of grace for the humble. All your needs are met in Christ. You are complete in him. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 to 17. This is Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Verse 17. For you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. The devil will tempt you to trade something of eternal glory for something temporal. Your life will end up in tears, holding on to anything in this world. The place of no repentance is coming soon. Now is the time to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Grace is there for you to learn from your mistakes, but time is running out. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 10 to 16. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm starting in verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, as professed a good profession before many witnesses. Verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Verse 16. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach, unto whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honour and power everlasting. Amen. Laying hold on eternal life is asking God everything. Timothy experienced God delivering him from many situations by hearing his voice. He also saw that nothing hindered Paul's gospel, living and preaching the truth. Churches today often rely on fundraising instead. Timothy had to maintain the confession that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. By hearing and obeying God, Jesus was not afraid facing Pontius Pilate. Do not go back to your own reasoning as this world is passing away. You need to kill the flesh to get a good grip on eternal life. It's a fight today to do everything by asking God. False leaders will tell you to just use your minds to make decisions. But if you do, your faith will die from lack of use. In the Message Bible, John 10:27-30 says, my sheep recognize my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them real and eternal life. They are protected from the destroyer for good. No one can steal them from out of my hand. The Father who put them under my care is so much greater than the destroyer and thief. No one can ever get them away from him. I and the Father are one heart and mind. By making Jesus Lord, through obeying the Spirit, you put yourself in his care. You will most certainly be saved from everything, including death. By making decisions with your mind, you are relying on your own resources, and you'll not be saved from your enemies, including death. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. This is 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm reading verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begun at us, what shall the end of be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? God does not have two standards. He is about to pass sentence on this world that has rejected a life controlled by the Spirit. Gentiles were lawless anyway. When the Jews killed the Son of God, they proved they were lawless and rebellious too. So this confirmed grace was needed. Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, verses 10 to 12. This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, starting verse 10. Have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. Verse 11. This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Verse 12. And they sought to lay hold of him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them. And they left him and went their way. The Jews will wake up very soon to the fact that they rejected the cornerstone. When the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, the cornerstone is making Jesus Lord and him your first love. Time is running out for everyone who's still doing what they want when they want. Paul said in Romans 11, verses 29, and reading to verse 36. This is Romans chapter 11. I'm reading verse 29. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Verse 30. For as ye in times past have not believed God, ye have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Verse 31. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. Verse 32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that you might have mercy upon all. Verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. Verse 34. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, and who hath been his counsellor? Verse 35. Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? Verse 36. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory for ever. Amen. The root of all unbelief in your life comes from listening to your own flesh, rather than the truth through conviction. If you want to believe that by using your mind you can understand the things of God, repent. You are carnal without hearing and obeying God consistently. Eternal life is not just living forever. It is communing with him every minute of the day. We read in John chapter 17, verses 1 to 4. This is John 17. I'm reading verse 1. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast gavest me to do. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, Spiritual Maturity, in the introduction on pages 8 and 9, Joseph Hedgecott writes, God's kingdom is the same on earth as it is in heaven. Even though it does not manifest exactly the same way, the standard for mature Christians is to live on earth as we will live in eternity. We have natural restrictions now because we have earthly bodies, but our motive is the same. The Father's will be done. In the kingdom, the same standards apply, both here and in eternity. When Jesus sets up his millennial kingdom, the same rules will apply. You do not change simply because it's a different time period in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, Jesus is the absolute Lord, and the Father's will is done. Even though we have the opportunity to reign with him, we will be under his authority then as we are now. Jesus obeys the Father's will, not his own. We are never authorized to seek our own will either. We are called to be a reflection of Jesus. When we do works in the Spirit, Jesus Christ flows through us. As the Spirit flows, we have the privilege of seeing Jesus work. As a mature Christian, your purpose is simple. I'm here to do the will of the Father. When that work is finished, I'm ready to go home. Nothing on earth has value to you when your heart is focused on eternity. Nothing can tempt you to compromise God's standard when you are in full agreement with his will each moment of every day. Eternal life is a gift by the grace of God given to everyone that is born again, so that they do not have to use their mind to make decisions anymore. It's not enough to have the gift of eternal life. You can have something very special and put it on the shelf. The gift of eternal life is designed for everyday use. It's only the unbelief in your heart that will hinder you from asking God everything. With the gift of eternal life, you will finish the work God called you to do step by step. It's not a mystery how Jesus glorified the Father. He did everything the way the Father wanted it done, using his ability to hear and obey. He got his power through obedience to the Spirit. Now, since you're born again, you can do the same, and your life will glorify God. We read in Luke chapter 1, verse 53. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm reading verse 53. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich hath he sent empty away. You can justify your own unbelief based on a few failures and some unwanted correction and conviction. However, if you listen to the flesh, you become empty and with just a fear of failure. Failures that God allows expose the fact that your motives are all wrong. So you can repent and be filled with good things. He is in control. We read in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 16 to 21. This is in the book of Zechariah chapter 14. I'm starting in verse 16. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem shall even go up from one year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 17. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. Verse 18. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 19. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 20. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Verse 21. Yet every pot in Jerusalem and in Judea shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them, and see thee therein. And in that day there shall be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. There will be no internet when Jesus is ruling 1,000 years. However, nations who do not visit him every year to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles will get the message when they get no rain. This is a valid form of communication. There'll be no means to call Jesus on the phone using man's technology when he comes back. No internet or social media. Direct communication with Jesus will be through the Holy Spirit for those who keep their vessels clean. The pots are vessels to remind different nations attending the Feast of Tabernacles to use God's form of communication by keeping their vessels holy. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 to 31. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm reading verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how there are not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Verse 28. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Verse 31. That according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. If you boast in anything that you gained in this world using natural wisdom, you are deceiving yourself. Everything is by grace. Paul was preaching Christ crucified. This is a stumbling block for all those using their minds to make decisions. Those asking God may appear foolish in this world, but those who are truly wise make him Lord. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1, I'm reading to verse 13. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Verse 2. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Verse 3. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. Verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Verse 5. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse 6. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Verse 7. Neither ye be idolatrous, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. There is no security in eating the same spiritual food and attending church. You have to be a doer of the word and bear fruit. There is a great inheritance for those who overcome temptation using the gift of eternal life. Paul reminded the Corinthians not to do the following. Number 1. Lust after evil things. 2. Be idolaters. Number 3. Commit fornication. Number 4. Tempt Christ. And number 5. Murmur. There are no 10 commandments in the New Testament. However, Paul mentioned 5 things to avoid. His people called out of Egypt, died in the wilderness without an inheritance before entering the promised land. It's only by grace in the new covenant that you get more time to repent. The Jews were the original vine, but you have been grafted in since they were removed because of their unbelief. You have an inheritance from God because the Jews were unfaithful. If you are unfaithful, how can you be grafted in again without repentance from dead works? In the Living Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 6 to 10, says, from this lesson we are warned that we must not desire evil things as they did, nor worship idols as they did. The scripture tells us that people sat down to eat and drink, and then got up to dance in worship of the golden calf. Another lesson for us is what's happened when some of them sin with other men's wives, and 23,000 fell dead in one day. And don't try the Lord's patience. They did and died from snake bites. And don't murmur against God and his dealings with you, as some of them did. For that is why God sent his angel to destroy them. In the Message Bible, 1 Corinthians 10, 6 to 10 says, the same things could happen to us. We must be on our guard so that we never get caught up in wanting our own way as they did. And we must not turn our religion into a circus as they did. First the people partied, then they threw a dance. We must not be sexually promiscuous. They paid for that, remember, with 23,000 deaths in one day. We must never try to get Christ to serve us instead of us serving him. They tried it, and God launched an epidemic. epidemic of poisonous snakes. We must be careful not to stir up discontent. Discontent destroyed them. History shows that without the gospel, man, through the lust of the flesh, becomes evil. Some believe that if nations can be educated naturally, there'll be peace. In first world educated countries, sin is still reigning and corruption is increasing through the love of money. Those that believe man is good in himself are deceived. To depart from evil, you need to fear God and keep his commands. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who give us richly all things to enjoy. Verse 18, that they do good and they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. God is speaking all the time, so you should be determined to keep the faith by obeying the Spirit. Those who are rich need to be reminded again and again of the need for godly wisdom. The rich can easily do anything in the flesh and develop bad habits based on earthly resources without asking God. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, verses 15, I'm reading to verse 26. This is John's Gospel, chapter 14, starting in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But ye know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you. Verse 18. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 19, yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But ye see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. Verse 20, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Verse 21, and he that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Verse 22. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. Verse 24. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. If you are doing anything that is comfortable for the flesh, you are deceiving yourself. You are not a disciple of Jesus. The comfort of disciples comes through hearing and obeying the Holy Spirit in complicated situations. The commandments given to you personally by Jesus are just right for you. You will have grace to keep his commandments as things you trust in and rely on are stripped away. What God removes are just idols that you created for the sake of your own flesh anyway. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10, 14 and 15. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Verse 15. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. Your gifts and talents and abilities will become an idol in the place of God if used to keep your flesh comfortable. Now Israel and the Gentiles are learning the same lessons. Those who are truly wise know that God will always provide a way of escape. James said in James chapter 1, verse 19 to 25. I'm reading in the book of James chapter 1, starting in verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Verse 20. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his face in a glass. Verse 24. For he beholds himself, and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Verse 25. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. When you apply the word of truth in this world of sin, God gives you the grace to obey. You will change if you believe his word is truth. You should believe there is grace for you to be a doer of the word at every level of maturity. If you're carnal, get rid of all your opinions and ideas and lay apart filthiness so that you can just hear what God is saying. The wise ones are not telling God to speak to them. They know God is speaking all the time. The priority is to listen and obey always. If you are really meek, you will hear, trust, and obey. Meekness is the ability to endure some hardship, submit, and like his ways. Do not resist humble circumstances for the sake of your flesh, as you will remain childish otherwise. Your attitude to the word needs to change. The word is a lifeline for those on the narrow way. They hunger and thirst after righteousness in complicated situations and get godly wisdom as a result. Obedience that is not instant is not obedience, exposing some unbelief and doubt too under pressure. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. This is in the book of Romans chapter 13. I'm reading verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Paul told the church of Rome to put on the armor of light before putting on Christ. Without a love for conviction, you will not have the right foundation. Everyone needs to walk in the light they have first. To get in Christ, you will have to remove the accesses of the devil. He has your flesh through conviction and repentance, and then grow up. The armor of light includes the lessons you learned in complicated situations, removing those accesses. If you have the armor of light, you do not make the same mistake twice. Abide longer and hear more clearly. It is the word of truth that we study, not what is convenient for the flesh. Jesus said in John 17, verses 15 to 17. This is John's Gospel, chapter 17. I'm reading verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou wouldest keep them from the evil. Verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 17. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. When Jesus came the first time, he did not have to remove the Romans or the religious Jews for the sake of his kingdom to come. It came in great power on the day of Pentecost, almost 2,000 years ago. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. This is Hebrews chapter 11, I'm reading verse 6. For without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is God and not corrupt. His word is not late or early. It is always spoken at the right time and what you need to apply going through a trial. The word of truth, through conviction, should have priority. It should be studied, whatever your circumstances. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in the introduction, on page 2, Joseph Hedgecock writes, I came to the conclusion that if my life did not line up with the Bible, there were no excuses for it. There are only reasons. When I began to search the scriptures for those reasons, while being led by the Holy Spirit, I began to make progress. I discovered that the reasons could be identified and removed through repentance, until there were no more reasons. As this process continued, I began to change. Old things began to pass away, and all things became new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. My walk with God began to align with the rightly divided word of truth. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. As I became more comfortable with this process, I asked God to show me my greatest hindrances first. As I processed these hindrances through repentance, my growth dramatically increased. If you're not studying what he reveals through a period of pressure, you are not studying the word of truth. Studying the written word with your mind brings death. Studying what he reveals by the Spirit is part of working out your salvation. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. This is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. I'm reading verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Verse 11. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Those on the narrow way in the family of God have different tasks. They are working on what he is telling them to work on now. Children of God are doers of the word. He is no man's debtor and gives you whatever you need to obey. He treats you as if you are mature when you're not, because you are pressing towards the mark. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, this is in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, I'm reading verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, and he that opens, and no man shuts, and no man opens. Verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and has kept my word, and has not denied my name. David did not deny God's name in front of Goliath. He can make a way where there is no way. Just because there is no door now, one will open if needed, and no door will be closed before its time. If you are still following Christ, keep his word of truth in a personal trial or difficulty. Make no excuses. Doors are kept open while you are processing and working on conviction. God is patiently waiting for you to repent of dead works before you proceed. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. This is John's Gospel, chapter 17. I'm reading verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name, and unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world, thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. The disciples had kept the word, even though they had made many mistakes. They were faithful to the truth and confessed their faults one to another. No one got any wrong ideas about the apostles as they recorded what really happened. You may not be led by the Spirit in everything now, but you are living in the light you have and working towards the point where you can operate like Christ did. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 26. I'm reading 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Verse 18, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are they many Antichrists, where we know that it is the last time. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Verse 20. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Verse 21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Verse 23. Whosoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Verse 25. This is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. Verse 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Christ is the door. He overcame the world by asking the Father everything. You cannot become part of the Church of Jesus Christ if you're still using your minds to make decisions, because Jesus never did that. Those with a confidence in the flesh are antichrists. Those with an anointing by the Spirit do not need to consult their own mind, because they are already hearing the Lord as the Spirit bears witness to the truth. Those doing what they want when they want do not believe the good news. Those ready are seeking righteousness by faith will be found in him when he appears. Doors stay open in your life when you do not deny the word he has given you. Those who deny the fact that Christ asked God everything are liars. They prefer to believe lies for the sake of their flesh, rather than asking God and doing the works of God by faith. Jesus said in John 10, verses 1 to 5. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10, I'm reading verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Verse 2. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3. To him the porter opens, and the door hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verse 4. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. The porters are real shepherds who speak as they are told to speak. those helping you spiritually tell you to listen and obey the Holy Spirit. They are also doorkeepers. They keep the door open through prayer and encourage you to enter before time runs out. Jesus said in Matthew 23 and verse 13, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, I'm reading verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. The religious Jews stop people from entering. Those who lean to their own understanding or using methods and formulas do not enter through the door, either because they love this world. They are religious. And when you mention asking God about the small things, they will react and say, God gave you a brain, he expects you to use it. Jesus Christ triumphed over the cross, clinging to the Father's every instruction that came through the Holy Spirit. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1, I'm reading to verse 10. This is Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Verse 4. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Verse 9. Honour the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. Verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Joseph made this boast that there was nothing in his home that he went out to buy because he liked it. He never bought anything with his mind but by asking God what he wanted instead. If you keep asking God, your home, your life, and the way you live will find favor with God and man. Joseph Hedgecock always found favor in the sight of God because he made a way for him where there seemed to be no way. He taught the truth about the commands of Jesus and ministered this with grace and truth. By asking God, you will abide in Christ and get to know him too. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, and I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow way, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded, and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious dead works where you do not have to deny yourself daily and take up your cross. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good. It signposted heaven this way, and many well-meaning good people attending church are on the broad road. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilty Prisoner, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've shared a message about the door. That door is Jesus, and he loves you. He cares for you. He sent you here, and everything that he does is out of love. He is in complete control, and he's now transmitting his perfect will for your life. All that life now depends on you, because you can only enjoy that life by passing through the door and making Jesus Lord. I can only tell you from personal experience that I am complete in Christ. And I can enjoy things that I couldn't enjoy before. And you can do the same. And my prayer for you right now is that you enter in through that door. And let go and let God of everything you're holding on to. And hold on to Him and what He's telling you to do every minute of the day. Enjoy that sweet communion with Him every day. And you'll be walking with Him every day. Let me pray for you right now because you need to enter in through that door. You may have accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, but you need to make Him your functional Lord of your life. Father in heaven, I pray for those who are listening right now. Give them ears to hear that they're missing the best because they still have a confidence in the flesh. They're still using their minds. Father, forgive them and give them a fresh chance, a fresh ability to hear where that door is and let them enter in like little children as they were supposed to. I pray that in Jesus' name. God bless you. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. I'd love to hear from you. God bless you. And again, thank you for listening.